and you are listening to the Texas Standard. Most of us can tell a story about how the airlines failed to deliver a piece of luggage on time or lost it entirely, but what if the airlines damaged or lost the only means of daily transportation you had? According to an investigative report by our next guest, each day the airlines lose or damage 29 wheelchairs or electric scooters used by the disabled. That's each day. Now, new data released this week by the U.S. Department of Transportation indicates that nearly 8,000 mobility aids were damaged or lost in the first 9 months of this year. And who foots the bill for the damage? These are among the questions Jamie Frazier has been looking into for her Flying While Disabled series. She's an investigative reporter for Gannett. Jamie, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Hey, thanks for having me.
While a piece of damaged piece of luggage is obviously pretty easily replaced, some of these mobility aids can cost upwards of $20,000. Who does foot the bill if a wheelchair or a motorized transportation scooter gets damaged?
An airline is required under law to cover the cost of damage, but that frequently can take months to get those repairs done or the replacement ordered. And some travelers simply don't have that time. I mean, if you're relying on this to get from A to B, to do your job, to, you know, get your kids to school in the morning, you can't be without your legs, so to speak, for months or weeks. So a lot of people foot the bill out of pocket at first and have mixed results getting reimbursement. Other times, the airlines have refused to pay for repairs. And it's a system that hasn't had a ton of enforcement by the Department of Transportation.
You know, you talk to some of the airlines and they point out that damage to some of these devices is anywhere between 1% and 3% of all the wheelchairs they transport, and they have to transport a lot. That doesn't sound so bad on the surface. I mean, given the overall scale of how many of these devices have to travel by plane.
Yeah, if you look at it as a percentage, it doesn't seem like a lot. But if you talk to an individual, you know, that's a loss of independence. It can cause major health complications and even put them in the hospital. As one traveler put it, you know, if we were losing, you know, this many pets every day, the country would be in an uproar. Another way to look at it is every time you fly, that risk compounds. So a single flight, you might have a 1.6% risk. But if you take four flights, which is, you know, two flights to your destination and two flights home, your risk is 6%. If you fly once a month for work, your chance of having your mobility aid damaged or lost is 32% for the
year. Wow. If you fly once a month for work.
Yeah. And that's if you're, that's at the industry average. If you're flying with an airline that has a worse record, for instance, with American, which, you know, it's 3.7% per flight. Mm-hmm. But if you fly once a month for work with American, your risk could be 60% in the year that your mobility aid will be damaged. And if you think about that in able-bodied terms, you know, if you were flying and there was a 60% chance that one of your legs could be broken, would you be flying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The Americans with Disabilities Act was passed back in 1990. And frankly, I'm surprised that we're just talking about these numbers now. Has the data been out there and no one's been looking at it, or what? What's going on?
Well, there are two interesting points on this. One is airlines are exempt from the Americans with Disabilities Act. They're covered by a separate federal law, the Air Carrier Access Act, which was passed in 1986. And so there are different standards of accessibility on planes than there are for buses or buildings or pretty much anywhere else in American life. And how often mobility aids like this are damaged has been tracked by some airlines internally for years, but federal officials have never required it to be reported to them until this past December.
What does this speak to? Because it seems like an unusually high number of these devices are in fact being damaged.
Sure. It depends a little bit on who you talk to in terms of why this happens so much. You know, there are lots of folks that in the disability community who think it's exactly that. There's just a, you know, lack of appreciation for the seriousness of these devices or just misunderstanding about how delicate or fragile they can be. Some of it has to do with the design of airplanes itself and the constraints that workers are put under. So for instance, almost every cargo hold door is smaller, not as tall as a power chair is. Mm-hmm, and so they have to tilt these 300-pound pieces of equipment on their side to get them through the cargo door.
I see.
And the side is where some of this delicate electronic components are.
Right. You know, the nation's bus transit systems often allowed disabled passengers to ride the bus in their own wheelchair strapped down by the bus driver. Is that a better option for air travel? I mean, should planes be forced to accommodate travelers in that way, or is that just impractical?
So it's a question that new federal advisory committee is going to be looking at in the next several months. There has been some crash safety testing by a nonprofit called All Wheels Up, which is, you know, shown that it can be just as safe as sitting in a passenger seat.
Jamie Fraser continues to look into this story. Flying While Disabled is the title of the series, and she's an investigative reporter for Gannett. We'll link to her latest at texasstandard.org. Jamie, thanks so much for sharing with us your findings. We certainly do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.